back to Bunce's Boxing Podcast. It's been a while since we've spoken to Steve Bunce. But I tell you what, Bunce, thoroughly enjoyed your co-commentary during the Olympics for the BBC. What was the trip like?
It was fantastic, to be honest with you, Lee. All the stuff about Rio and this, that and the other. I think the most that happened was that two Brazilian policemen were killed and someone from the BBC had their laptop stolen from the equestrian centre. And a group of overpaid rich boys from America made out they've been held up. I've got to be honest with you, for 2 weeks in any big cosmopolitan city, that's not bad, is it?
No,
to be absolutely
not
straight. But the boxing itself was great because no one knew what was going on. No one knew if it was 3-3's war. No one knew if it was old school boxing. And all of those officials that got a lot of stick, that's the first time most of them had ever been at a major event, A, without head guards, and B, where they were scoring. Those guys... Even 55-year-old judges, their entire life as a judge had been spent scoring with a computer and scoring guys wearing head guards. So it was a major, massive overhaul. Perhaps, in some ways, the men that run the sport, mostly men, should have got in some professional judges and not some professional boxers.
Maybe so. Anyone who follows Steve on Twitter, at Big Daddy Bunce, will have seen the shirts as well. They were a highlight of the Olympic month, Buncey.
Well, some of those, remember, were 23 and 24 years old.
They've been around the world with you, haven't they?
Well, exactly. I used to pick them up in fights. So one of them was from when Lewis fought Akin Wandy, and another one was from when Holyfield fought Michael Moran, another one was from when Foreman fought Axel Short. So they've all got a story. I haven't just gone somewhere and bought a group of shirts with fancy patterns on. And of course, they've all got the prerequisite coconut husk button, which is the true sign of an Hawaiian shirt. It doesn't have coconut husk buttons. In fact, the true Hawaiian shirt is sold without buttons. You get to choose your buttons. See, this is an education in shirt etiquette that you did not expect.
I did not expect that at all. I'm sure Bunce doesn't embarrass too easy, but there were a lot of these polls and newspaper things about what was the best commentary, but I thought whoever you were with on the boxing side of stuff, I'm biased. I love boxing and I really enjoy speaking to you, Bunce, but you know, you always give a story and you always commentate obviously very well on the boxing. It just brought it to life. It was my favourite thing to listen to on Five Live during the course of the... So thank you for that, Bunce. I'm sure other people would like to pass on the gratitude as well. Let's talk about the pro game, shall we?
Yes.
Some big fights this weekend. We're going to obviously talk about Brook versus Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. We've got a few on the undercard to look at first of all, Bunce. There's some titles up for grabs. Not a bad undercard without titles. The likes of Conor Benn, of course, and Kid Galahad, Gavin McDonald, all on the card. Paul Smith as well. But let's start with... the Callum Smith-Norbert Nemespatidze fight. This is for the WBC Silver Super Middleweight title. If you're wondering who his opponent is, well, he's out of Hungary. His record reads 21-3. He's been stopped once himself and he's stopped 16 of his opponents. He lost his last fight, which was in August, 23rd of August, so not too long ago. Really, this is a treading water fight, really, for Callum Smith, isn't it? Whose record is 20-0 with 15 stoppages.
Yeah, it's another treading water fight. It's an amazing old business, isn't it? I mean, Callum, you know, he's beaten a couple of guys that had been in with guys that had then beaten them. But he's in this fantastic position. He's got some options. He's looking at James DeGale. James DeGale thinks it's too early, and it might very well be. He's looking at other fighters. He'll get something. This is straightforward. I mean, you can tell from the lack of enthusiasm in my voice that I'm sort of sick, really, of good British fighters knocking over a Frenchman or a Hungarian or an Italian who's based, you know, an African that's based in Germany or something like that. I'm sort of sick of it now, you know. So this is 5-6 rounds, Callum Smith, absolutely fantastic, and he moves on to fight somebody else that once fought somebody that fought somebody. Let's try and start the new year. I mean, Callum won't be in his hotel room tonight, wondering how he's going to sleep tonight, will he?
No.
He'll be planning what the short holiday is going to take on Sunday when he flies out to see his brother Liam fight Canelo Alvarez next week. So Callum Smith, quite comfortable, 5 or 6 rounds.
Yeah, his mates might be looking at that group round 4-6 at 2-1 though as a bet. So Smith to finish it in rounds 4, 5 or 6 is priced up at 2-1.
I mean, when you look at the 50 top super middleweights in the world, there comes a point when you go, well, actually, how many of them have you beat? If you look at, say, BoxRec ranking, and at the end of the day, if you're a number one contender, in my opinion, you need to, if you're a number one contender, you need to have beaten at least one man in the top 10. If you're in the top 10, you need to have beaten at least two men in the top 20. That's the bottom line. You know, let's cut through it here, you know, and so if you actually look at it that way, we have such a splintered business that, you know, you can, it's the only sport where you can be the eighth or ninth best and you can reign as the number one for 3 years. Yeah. It's the only sport. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I've said it before, if boxing was football, then Everton have been the Premier League champions for the last 15 years. Yeah. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Let's have a look at the fight for the vacant British Super Featherweight title. Last held by Liam Walsh, of course. He took it home as well, didn't he? Won it three times. Martin Joseph Ward is in the ring for this one, and he's fighting Andy Townend. The prices, see, Ward is a big favourite, 100-30 on, 5-2 for Andy Townend. We've got a few different variations on those prices as well, which we'll get into in a second. Townend's record is 16-3, never been stopped, and those losses came a few years ago, a couple of years ago, 2014, lost to Di Davis and Rendell Munro, which is no shame in either of those. Since then, he's been on a 9-fight winning streak. His opponent got a record of 14-0-2, so never lost. Yep. Two draws in there. The draws came against Maxie Hughes and Ian Bailey back in 2014. So him himself is on a winning streak as well. An interesting domestic fight, this one, Buncey.
Yeah, it's an interesting domestic fight, and I love it when fights like this are on bills like this, because that justifies getting there early.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, because sometimes these fights take place at 7 o'clock. Sometimes they're not even on live on the broadcaster. Broadcaster's part of the broadcaster's live show. I fancy Ward this time. It was Kid Ward that obviously got shot. It was a bit of a sort of bit of a blip, so to speak, in his career. He hasn't really. He was a terrific amateur, won the ABA title, and then turned professional and looked good. And I was, he looked fantastic. I was hoping the power would come. The power hasn't really come. He's still got that thing which a lot of traveller boys have got, where they don't actually develop like proper power. They're strong boys, really strong and durable and great boxing brains, but they sort of lack a little bit of power, and I just thought the Ward might have got a bit more power by now. He'll win, and hopefully, he'll win. I don't think it'll be by stoppage. I think it'll be by points. And it's good, because he's been a terrific fighter, and he's a terrific little stylist, and when he's at his best, he's really good. Can be crowded out of it, though. I just don't think that's going to be the case on Saturday night. I think he wins. I think he wins on points.
Yeah, 4-5 the win on points, which is good enough. Let's have a look at the Stuart Hall fight with Lee Haskins next up. This is for the IBF World Bantamweight title, of course, which Lee Haskins holds. His record is 33-3. Been stopped three times himself. Last time that happened was back in 2012, though, and he's been on this fantastic run ever since. Stuart Hall, his record reads 24-2. 36 years old now, Buncey. Seems to have been around for forever, doesn't he, Stuart Hall?
He
went through a bit of a sticky patch, didn't he? In fact, he had a draw with Ward, which then went on to a couple of losses, and then since then he's won four on the spin. The prices for this one show the favourite being Lee Haskins, not surprisingly, at 2-7. Stuart Hall's 11-4, and the draw is 20-1.
Well, they've got a lot of bad blood between them. I spoke to the pair of them this week, and they dislike each other, and I don't mind that. And I know one thing, when it's over, they won't shake hands. They might touch gloves. They're not going to become friends after this. Not one of those mutual loving. They dislike each other now, and they're going to dislike each other at the end. And it'll be tight, it'll be hard, it'll be grueling. It might not be pleasant on the eye, but it'll be fantastic if you're a real fight fan. It's one of those sort of fights. I can't wait to be 6 feet away watching this. And at the end of the day, Haskins is going to win. It's going to be really tight, really controversial, and there'll be lots of screaming and shouting. But I fancy Haskins on points.
Haskins on points is 4-5. We're building up a nice little accumulator here with that Callum Smith rounds 4-6 and the 2 points wins for Ward and Haskins. The main event, Buncey, is Kell Brook fighting Gennady Golovkin, of course. Mouth-watering fight, this one. It's a brilliant fight to have been made. It's been promoted in the right kind of way. It's an interesting scenario. We've seen quite a lot of boxers come over here of late to the capital of the boxing world, as Mr. Hearn would have it, London, and they've been booed. You get the feeling that Gennady Golovkin's going to be treated in a more respectful manner. I think the boxing public are genuinely looking forward to seeing this calibre of fighter on our shores. It's not Iron Mike Tyson, but it's somewhere on the line up to that, isn't it, Buncey?
Yeah, it's not dissimilar for that. I mean, we've got a very intelligent boxing public here. We've got a very loyal boxing public here. I mean, we've got a real split between the really smart boxing fans, and I mean that nicely, and the guys that go out for a big event and go and see Joshua. Who are equally important to us, trust me, because they're both groups of those are essential. And for this fight, you get both in. You get the guys that are real hardcore, and I mean guys and women as well, and then you get the event fans, and the event fans love it, and the real hardcore fans love it. And what's not to love? I'm told that at the weigh-in on Friday, there were thousands and thousands there. They could have opened the arena. We could have had a Vegas-style weigh-in. We could have had 20,000 people at the weigh-in. It's that type of fight. Kell's been given a glimmer of hope this week with the stories about Golovkin being dead in the weight, having a bad hand, having the flu, having the sniffles, not having his head right, not training correctly. Blimey, he's got so many things wrong with him. Amazing he can get out of bed, let alone get on a plane and fly to London. But my gut feeling is that he could have picked up a sniffle in the air conditioning. He might have come in 2 or 3 days too late. I think he probably has. He should have come in maybe 3 days earlier. Hey-ho, he knows what he's doing. He's lived in LA and boxed in Europe before, so he knows what he's doing. Kell Brook, these people keep telling me he's going to be bigger and stronger and wilder and this, that and the other. He's not going to be bigger. For a start, he's an inch shorter. So doesn't matter what they do in the Canary Islands, beefing him up, he's not going to grow an inch. Let me just explain that. At 30, he's not going to grow an inch. His reach is 2 inches shorter. And let me just explain, no matter what they do in the Canary Islands, they're not going to be able to increase his reach by 2 inches. What they've done is they put some muscle across his back and around his neck and shoulders. Perfect. That's where he needs to go. You don't want to slow him down too much, though. So you want to make sure you limit what you put on. And the key here is going to be when they actually come into a clinch to see how he deals with it, Kell, and see how he deals with it, Golovkin. Because at that point, they would have weighed in, probably both weighing about the same weight, and then they would have gained weight. And they might even gain about the same weight. So when they're both coming in about 172, 12, 13, 14 pounds over the limit, that's when Kell will be 3 stone above where he usually fights. So 2 and a bit stone above where he usually fights. 2 and a bit stone above where he usually fights. And that's where we're going to see it. That's real weight. What Emmanuel Stewart used to call bone-to-bone weight, i.e. real weight, not just put-on weight. And that's going to be interesting to see. My gut feeling is it won't be bone-to-bone weight. My feeling is that Golovkin with his brilliant footwork, although some idiots are suggesting that he's slow. He's not slow, he's methodical. When's he ever been beat to a punch? Go and watch 15 hours of his fights, Lee. You won't find one moment where he's beaten to a punch. He gets hit with a shot, doesn't mean he's slow, it means he got hit with a shot. For God's sake, Sugar Ray Leonard got hit with a shot. Floyd Mayweather's been hit with a shot. They're not plodders because they've been hit with a shot. What he does quite brilliantly, Golovkin, is he positions his feet. And it's all about timing. I've been saying this for years, because if it wasn't about timing, then the guys with the biggest muscles would win the world title fight. It's that simple. It's about timing. It's about precision. And that's where Golovkin, even a sick and ill Golovkin, will just have too much. Can Kell survive 12 rounds? I think that might be his goal. If he does, that's a victory. No one's gone into the 12th round yet with Golovkin. My gut feeling is he won't. My gut feeling is that no matter how sick or poorly Golovkin is, he will get to Kell at some stage. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if it was early. I can see Kell being a bit gung-ho. I can see Kell catching Golovkin. I can see Kell catching Golovkin with a big shot and maybe believing he's got a chance of moving in. But my gut feeling is it's a stoppage sometime after about 8 rounds.
Yeah,
in favour of Golovkin.
The grouped round betting, Golovkin rounds 1 to 3. I know there's a few people talking about that as a possibility. It's 7 to 2. Golovkin late on, so between 10, 11 and 12, is 8 to 1. And for the fight to go the distance, it's 3-1, just for it to go to the judges, as the few there. But Buncey, in terms of Cal Brook, obviously, you know, we know he's a very, very talented fighter. He's just got, you know, a few things that you've just itemised, you know, against him in terms of, you know, having to change the weight and all that. One other thing that, you know, and without kind of without telling any secrets, I don't think it would be that much of a shock to know that Cal Brook isn't always the most committed, is he? He isn't always the most focused on his next fight. Have you? He'll be focused for this one, surely.
Oh no, no.
My worry is that
he
knows that he's in a no lose situation, and I wonder if the hunger's there for fighters when they're in a no lose situation.
Well, people that I know that have been in camp with him, not pressmen, say that they've never seen him like this, and I believe them. Then people that don't need to lie to me. So no, I think he has, because I think Kel's a really smart fighter. He's a smart kid, actually. And Kel will know that if I do pull this off, it's a forever job. You know, I'm the greatest. It's the greatest win ever by a British boxer. You know, I'm in those record books. And that's what everyone will say for 30 years. We still talk about Lloyd Hannigan being Donald Curry all those millions of years ago, you know. So, and that's what I think is also on his mind. So no, I think he'll be prepared. Because he has to be. Because if he's a little bit, if he's left anything behind, if he's not completed everything he needs to complete, then I assure you that Golovkin will smell it and get to him early. And doesn't want to be embarrassed. Doesn't want to be ruthlessly taken apart and exposed and backed up from the first round and stopped in the fourth. He's got to be competitive. He can be competitive in a 2-round blowout. You know, don't worry about that. Look at Hearns and Hagler. One of the most explosive fights ever. No one ever commits Tommy Hearns' commitment to that fight. No one would ever question Tommy Hearns' role in that fight. What he can't do is go in underprepared, thinking it doesn't matter because I'm in a win-win situation. If I lose. No. I think he's prepared properly. I think he wants to win. I think he knows how to win. I just don't think he can win. And I just think Golovkin will maybe box a lot very carefully, like he did against Martin Murray. He's a big lump, Martin Murray, and finally get to Kel from about 7-8 onwards for a stoppage around the 8 or 9 mark. That's my gut feeling.
It's good to know, because I think anyone who's having a bet on Cal wants to know that he's absolutely in tip-top condition.
No, he is. There's no corners cut. He's brilliant. At the moment, there's not many light welters, or middles that could live with him. Unfortunately, he's fighting with the best of all of them.
Buncey, thank you very much. Enjoy the fight. Let me just put this little acca together that everyone's been looking at. Which one would you go for? Golovkin to win by a stoppage is very short. Would you pick a group of rounds, or would you just go for the stoppage?
Yeah, I would. I'd go group rounds.
So 10, 11, 12 or 7, 8, 9?
7, 9. No, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, 10, 11, 12.
Just under 40-1. So that's the Golovkin stoppage in those rounds. Haskins by decision, Ward by decision, and Smith in rounds 4, 5, or 6. Just under 40-1. Buncey, great to speak to you again. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll speak to you ahead of the big fight next week.
Lee, thanks very much.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.